Testing, testing. All right. Give me my thing. I don't know about y'all, but I came seeking this morning. Amen. I don't know, over the last few months, life has been crazy for all of us. And I'm going to go ahead and be transparent with you really quick, and then we're going to jump into the Word, and the Holy Spirit is going to move. He's going to give you some hope. He's going to give you some direction today. But over the last few months, I've always said I'm not a big church goer, the traditional church. That's just not me. I wasn't raised in church all my life. I did go to church. My uncle would take me to church with him when he would go to different churches and minister. So I didn't get accustomed to the church ritual, I want to say, you know, the Wednesday, Sunday. But let me tell you something. God began to correct me over this time period. Because of the simple fact is that, yeah, I show up on Wednesdays and Sundays. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with being that type of church person that just, you want to do more. You want to be out in the community. You want to be helping the world. There's nothing wrong with that. But I realized something when God began to speak. He told me, he said, do you see how important it is that you go to church and you fellowship with like-minded people? Because a lot of people over this time has went astray. Why have they went astray? They've went astray because Wednesdays and Sundays was no longer something they had something to look forward to. They already wasn't reading their Bibles, but guess what? Wednesdays and Sundays provided that time for them to get some type of spiritual weapons that they could fight throughout the week. So when I come back with the expectation that the church won't be just the church of Wednesdays and Sundays. We will be the church of Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. It shall be an everyday thing. You know what? I should carry the church wherever I go. Wherever I stand, it shall be my sanctuary. If I go to Walmart, this is my sanctuary. If I go to Kohl's, this is my sanctuary. I dwell wherever my Father dwells at, and his Spirit was in me. So therefore, I am carrying him wherever I go. I don't got to worry about nothing because he who sent me is going to do a good thing, and he's going to do it right on point and right on time. So God began to just really wreck me over this. And over the years, you know, I've ministered to people and I've talked to people and I've helped people and I lost, you know, I didn't realize that, you know, I was going to church and sometimes I was more or less playing church than being the church. It was a game to me. You know, I pick you up on Tuesday right before Wednesday because I want to make sure I sound spiritual when I get there Wednesday so I don't look like a fool. I'm a huckabuck when the right song get on because I want to see like I'm spiritual, but I was dying inside. See, people don't realize the strategic move of church just not on Wednesdays and Sundays. Let me tell you something. If you only ate on Wednesdays and Sundays, you'll be struggling throughout the week. It's time that we begin to not just eat on Wednesdays and Sundays, but we begin to eat all week long. This is an open season. All you can eat buffet. He's not going to stop you on his word. The more you eat, the more he keeps giving to you. So this is where we're going to go. You know, and when I talk to David, you know, I'm going to be transparent this morning. And I'm going to just let God use me and my testimony of however he wants to. I have really been upset with God for months now. I left a church in December, started here at Grace. And I get a little bit of my feet wet. And then all of a sudden, a pandemic breaks out. And now, I don't even have a church to go to. So I got a little upset because now, God, you've moved me to a new church, an unfamiliar area that I don't really know nobody, but they have accepted me for who I am and all my flaws. First church that has ever really done that. And I want to say something to Grace Community Church. When the only reason why I'm standing here is because not one member I have felt any indifferent when they came and approached me. That says a lot. Every member that I've ever encountered at Grace Community Church has made me feel welcome and made me feel like I was at home, even when I felt like there was no home for me. So God began to, do all these things, and then a pandemic breaks out in the midst of us moving to a new house. More money and rent. Now the kids are at home getting on my nerves, eating up all the food, why are we spending hundreds of dollars now? Because the kids are at home and they're just eating, they're bored. I'm thankful that my kids decided technology wasn't the only thing that can keep their mindset, that they begin to go outside. And I was happy when they start digging holes and digging, making mud pies. I'm cool. I'm down with that. You're not on your technology. You're like, hallelujah. A pandemic did this to my child. And I've been trying to do this for 16 years with one. And it's so crazy, and I just got frustrated with God, and then I'm dealing with these heart palpitations that I constantly have, and I'm taking medicine for it, and thank you, Holy Spirit. I was playing church. How can I proclaim something if I'm playing with it? Jesus is going to heal you, but I'm playing around. Do you really believe that Jesus is going to heal you? Oh yeah, I believe, but yet my word ain't backing up what my actions are. You got to have faith, and faith without works. The word works. You got to step out on faith. If you're going to step out on anything, you're going to have to step out and open up your book. That might be your first faith step that you have to take. But you got to have the word to back up your actions. Because actions without words is nothing. They say actions speak louder than words. The only reason why actions speak louder than words is because the word confirms your action. Woo, we're going to have church this morning. I'm excited. My title, wait a minute, hold on, let me get back because I want to make sure. While they were singing the song, I was wondering, I said, God, I have never felt your presence like I have today. I have stood among many people, but today I've been endued. I've been subdued and just felt the presence of God all over me. And in Acts 1 and 8, I got the daily devotional. And it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the world, of the earth. Let me tell you something. That word was resonating with me because now I know I have been endued with power. The Holy Spirit is upon me, and I'm going to deliver it just like he wants me to deliver it. I have a new fire for Christ, a new fire for the way I am, a new fire as a husband, a godly husband, a godly father. There's a new fire. Even at my job, it is now different because I'm not just an employer. I'm a man of God that is employed. And when I go, wherever I go, it's going to be my sanctuary. So I tell you all that, and it sounds all good, but my title of the message is Hope in Hopeless Times. We are in a crazy time right now. My goodness. I've never seen a time like this. I remember when Rodney King... the big thing was Rodney King. This pandemic, let me tell you, this pandemic has got people out of whack, out of shape, unfit, uncultured. They bitter, they're angry, they're mad, and they don't know who they're bitter, angry, or mad at. They just know They're just, go to Walmart. If you don't believe me, go to Walmart. Walmart, I don't know who goes to Walmart. You know what I think this pandemic did? It made all the good people stay at home and all the crazy ones come out. I said, my goodness, y'all people are crazy. Lord Jesus, I got to pray just to come to Walmart now. Like, can I not just get some pork chops and some collard greens without having to worry? My goodness, what are y'all doing? It's okay. Let's pray. You know, but this pandemic is just, it has changed the culture of our world. But I tell you something about 2020. If it's perfect vision, it has shown me what people are really dealing with. They're bitter. They're angry. Because life has dealt them a hand. And they have no hope. This pandemic has created no hope in the American people and across the world. They think you're either going to do two things. You're either going to die or you're going to get well from it. And they lean more to the you're going to die from it than get well from it. I serve notice on the enemy today. By his stripes, I'm healed. He died for me. And if we do not, as the church, stand up and declare it over the world, they will die. They will lose. I'm more serious about souls than I've ever been now. I'm tired of the world feeding them garbage. Misquoting scriptures. And then saying, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. We need a generation that's going to rise up and proclaim the name above all names. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. He is the one that went to the cross and buried it all for us. That's the hope we are living in. That's the hope that we are looking for. That is the hope that we need. We don't need Buddha or Muhammad. They are just dead, wasted gods. My God is still living, sitting at the right hand. He's interceding on my behalf right now, on your behalf right now. I need a living God, not a dead God. And in Romans 5 and 3 through 5, it says we can rejoice. 2, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. I'm going to stop right there. Help us develop endurance. Stop running from your problems, church, and face them head on. You have the victory. Because your hope is not what you can do. It's what God can do through you. This is the hope we have. And endurance develops strength of character. I used to say it's a sin problem we're facing. We are facing a sin issue. But we also facing a character issue. The church is a character issue. Okay, it says the character strengthens and our confidence, hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. Come on, church. Let's start to love like we have never loved before. Love the broken. Love the homeless. Love the rich. Love the homosexuals. Love them all. Love the murderers. Love them all. You know what? We can love a lot of things, but you can't. It's hard for the church to love a homosexual. It's hard for the church to love a molester, a rapist. It's hard for them to love because we think that they are doomed to hell. But we already know that Jesus died for them as well. I can go ahead and tell you this. You may not think you're a rapist. But I guarantee you done raped somebody or something. You have touched things that you probably shouldn't have ever touched. That's all it is. Let's be real. We're looking at the physical aspect. How many of y'all have ever talked bad about someone? How many of y'all have ever cursed someone? You cursing God's creation. You have now touched something you shouldn't have never touched. You just ripped them of what they was. Hey, y'all looking at me? Some of y'all looking at me like, oh my God. But look, I'm going to tell you why. Because we're all in this together. Ye without sin. Cast the first stone. I love it. You're so good, Jesus. I love it. If you can't cast that stone, you better get the loving, because that's where we're at. Because you should have known where you come from. Some of y'all, some of y'all know where you came from. Paul says that we can rejoice in our sufferings because we are a people of hope. That's good. Paul, you're doing good. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering. Let me tell you something. It's not that we rejoice because we have a heart issue or we have cancer. We rejoice because we know God is never going to leave us nor forsake us. That he's going to walk us through it. That every trial and tribulation is going to work out for the goodness of his glory's sake. So that's your hope. See, we don't want to look at the scriptures like that. So I got three things, and I'm going to try to get to all three of them. Pray for me. All right? Number one, you're going to have to rely on God's presence. That's number one. Rejoicing in suffering does not mean celebrating bad news when bad news comes. But it does mean that we can believe that God is doing a redemptive work. Redemptive means acting to save someone from error or evil. This is where it gets good. So I'm one of those people, I'm like, hey, what does that really mean? So I went and looked up the word error. The word error means a mistake. This is going to get good. Back in Genesis, what did they do? They ate the fruit, which caused sin to come in. Sin equals death, right? So when you sin, you should automatically die. But God says, hold up. I came to redeem you from a mistake. So as long as you keep the mindset of every time I make a mistake or I catch myself sinning, you got to do it with the right heart. You got to repent. For Paul says, I repent daily. Because I what? Sin daily. Which means he's saying, I make mistakes daily. We all make mistakes daily. You know, the sad thing about the church now is that now we'll go to sleep knowing that we're living in sin. And we'll wake up with the expectation that God is going to do a great thing. But we went to bed in a mess. This is good. The word redemptive means that God does not waste a hurt or disappointment. He takes every opportunity he can to help us. It's time that we look at God a completely different way. How about we look at God as Father and not God? Hear me out. This is how my mind thinks. God is lording over. God is all powerful. I know he controls everything. But you know something about being a father? He answers all questions. He gives answers. There's a big difference between Father and God. You know, like God is just, I think of God don't do that. You know, and he's constantly ready to hit the button, you know. But when I think of my father, I think of somebody I can call on. Somebody that's going to love me through it. Somebody that's going to walk me through it. Not saying that God don't, but we see that he sent his son so we can be adopted back in and we can have a father that can walk along with us. You know, and so how about we change our mindset? We know we need God, but we also need a father. In Romans 8:28, it says this, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. And we know. When I read this, I did not realize it says, and we know. And we know. Wait a minute, hold up. How we know? How you going to make a declaration that we know? How you going to tell me I know? I don't know. You know when you ask your kids, like, hey, you know. And they're like, I don't know. You know, you got kids. How many parents in here, you tell your kids something or you warn them about something, they're like, I don't know. You like, you know. It's the same way we are with God. He's saying, we know. And we're like, we don't know. Yeah, you do know. Because God already created you. He already put it in you. How come a baby can be born and know how to get your attention to feed it? Because he knows. He doesn't realize that's where we have got to tap into who we are. This is where everything begins to change. It's a predetermined mindset. All right? I don't think, hold on, let me make sure I don't want to repeat the same thing. All right, so, and if I do, it's okay. All right, so he already have predestined our destination, okay? We already got it, he already got it mapped out. It's up to us to walk, follow. You know, the righteous, he orders our footsteps. That means he helps us walk to that destination. He helps us get there. The word pre means prior to, in advance of, or early, or beforehand, in front of. Destiny is a predetermined course of events often held to be a power of an agency felt that destiny would determine their future. Let me tell you something. Jeremiah 20:11 tells us that he already had a plan. Then he goes on to tells us that he formed us in our mother's womb, that he already knew us. You know what? That is mind-boggling to some. Can I share a vision with y'all real quick? Y'all mind? I had a vision one time about just people. It was random people, and it was people in my dream I knew. And I seen them go before God. And I remember God would say something to them. And he would lay their hands on them, and they would fall back. And when they fell back, they would wake up here on earth. One of the most craziest visions I've ever had. I've had some crazy visions. And I seen that, and I said, God, what in the world? And he took me, and he says, for I knew you. Everything you need is already in you. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you take him in. Then he says, hey, I'm going to go back to my Father, you know, and I'm going to sit down. I'm going to say it's finished. That's basically what he does. And then the Holy Spirit's going to come and it's going to be your comforter. It's going to lead and guide you. So forth, right? So what happens is I believe you activate something on the inside of you that you have never tapped into before. You know, and this is where, for I know. Oh, wait a minute, is that the same one? No, that's Jeremiah 29. Oh, so cool. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disasters. Teenagers, I want you to get a good look at that word, good. How you tell when the enemy is attacking or if it's your flesh, is it good? Hold up. Just because it feels good doesn't mean it's good. I love food. And it's good. But it's not always good for me. Want me to tell you why? Take a blood pressure pill now. So some of the things I ate was not good. But God's plan is good. And if I was thinking about how would I say, well, how can you determine if it's good? It's all in the heart. It's all in what you perceive it as, and it's all your motives behind that good. You know what? If you want to go help the homeless and you're like, oh, well, I don't know. No, that's good. Do that. If you want to say something in care, that's good. If your friend's like, hey, we should go to this party and we're just going to hang out, question it. What can happen at this party? Is it good? And I would say that 99.9% of the time, the party you go to is probably not good. Not unless you're going to the pastor's house and he's having a birthday party. And if the pastor's party ain't good, leave the church. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Oh, Lord. Jesus. Are we filming? All right, so is Lord Jesus. Psalms 37:23, it says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. If you're in sin, your steps are not godly. It's not. If you're in error, your steps are not godly. You know, I tell my daughter, and she's sitting right here, she hates when I use her, but we already know she's a teenager and boys come. You know what I mean? Boys come. And that's every teenage girl or every teenage boy, girls come for them, you know. But if you're not in God, teenagers, you won't see your perfect mate. And you'll be walking with unyoked people that don't believe nothing what you believe, and you're trying to link up with them. If you're going to do it, be in God. I found my wife in God, not in the club. I found her at church. Because he directs our steps of the godly. That means he's going to line everything up. Your perfect mate is taking the same steps if they're in God to get to you just like you're getting to them. Everything lines up. God's got me here because guess what? He ordered my footsteps. He delights in every detail of your lives. He loves the good and he loves the bad. Though they stumble, they will never fall. Never, ever fall. I might trip, but he's going to catch me. And if you really want to look at it, it's because he knows we have a human nature. But he's not saying go out here and deliberately sin. He's saying, hey, if you trip up or you make a mistake, I won't let you fall. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In Genesis, he did not let Adam and Eve fall. He let grace catch them. He let his love catch them. Because he was no longer just a God. He was a father that wanted to protect his kids. And he began to orchestrate how his son was going to come in. Oh, my goodness. This is us. He's not going to let us fall. Because he knows our hearts. He knows our minds. He delights in every detail of your life. So therefore, he knows everything about you. He knows when you're about to mess up. He just said, hey, when you mess up, just come to me. Let me know. It's not that I already don't know, but I'm your father. And I want to protect you because the enemy is about to devour you. And I have to put something around you. The blood still works. There's hope. When you sin, the blood works. It covers you. It sees you in stealth mode. I bet when the blood attaches to you, I bet the enemy can't find you no more. You was no longer there. He was about to come in. He was about to kill you. But I serve notice that there's hope because the blood gives us hope. My goodness. They never fall. For the Lord holds them by the hand. By the hand. I hold my kids. I love holding my kids' hands. Definitely my little ones. I love holding their hands and walking with them. Because it reassures me that this is mine. And it reassures him that I'm his. Once I was young, and now I'm old. Yes, I am. Thank you, Holy Bible, for telling me I'm old. So if anybody tells you you're old, take it as a blessing because the Bible says it. All right? Y'all are old. Okay, I'm just kidding. Some are older than others. Okay, let's... Yet I have never seen the godly abandoned. Woo! Or their children begging for bread. Yeah, he works it out. The godly always give generous loans to others. We're not the borrowers, we're the lenders. And we can give and don't ask for it back. That's what, you get what I'm saying? Just go ahead and take it. Well, I told my mom one time, I said, the Bible says if a man takes your shirt, give it to him. Because you know what you're demonstrating? You're giving it to him. You ain't sinning. How about we think about it? Whoa, this is good. I'm having fun, y'all. Sorry. Turn from evil and do good. We have got to turn from our wicked ways. The reason why our land is not being healed, because we're wicked. And do good. I believe once we do that, we'll see a difference in numbers. The pandemic numbers. Ha! Did you know that the pandemic numbers, if you've been keeping up with them, haven't really changed any? I wonder if he's waiting on the church to turn from their wicked ways and declare that he is God, that he is the Almighty, that he is the healer, that he is the Savior, that he is the King, that he is the Lord, that he is the hope, that he is our identity that we need. I wonder if he's just waiting on the church just to change a mistake. Woo! Hope in hopeless times. I hope you're getting it. Woo! For the Lord, let me make sure, okay. And you will live in the land forever. Good God. For the Lord loves justice, and he will never abandon the godly. You think the enemy's going to, this is an enemy statement. You think because he does something to you that he's just going to let it ride? Write it off. No, he loves justice when it comes to his kids. I love my kids. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you. You can say whatever about me. But my wife and my kids, I love justice. Right hook, left hook, boom. Hey, that was really good, wasn't it? I'll be hurting tomorrow or by next service. Justice. But you know what? You can give rightly godly justice. You know, I had somebody, they asked me something one day, and I said, man, the only thing I can do is go to God and ask God what he wants me to do. He said, that's stupid. I said, that's why you're in the hell you're in, because that's stupid. If you think about it, there's godly justice. He's a just God. So why don't we just go to him? Because he knows. You know what? Somebody look at somebody different in the church, that person gets mad. What happened to prayer about that person? How much you go to prayer and figure out why they gave you that look? Maybe they just lost their mama. Maybe they just found out they had cancer. And this is the only look that they got. Because that's with 63 other guys and a thin little mat that big. It was hard for 60 days. That's where I laid. Yes, I'm not making that bed no more. We're going to throw that one away. You know, that's how you got to think about it. The godly will possess the land and will live there forever. And then we already did Jeremiah 29:11. And in Romans 8:29, it says, for God knew his people in advance. And he chose them to be like his sons. So that his sons would be the firstborn. His son would be the firstborn among brothers and sisters. If you think you're here by mistake, I serve notice on the enemy today. It's canceled. You're not a mistake. You're a purpose. You were sent here to bring glory to God's name. You think because you just come into church and you're just hearing a preacher or you're hearing a minister or whoever's talking, you think, oh, well, my life is still don't mean nothing. No, he's trying to order your footsteps into his presence so he can provide for you and give you your identity. That's what hope is. Jeremiah 1:4-5 says, the Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I was formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Let me tell you something. I believe, and I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, any leader in this church or whatever can come and correct me, you know. I believe we all are prophets. I don't believe that we are called prophets. You give up the title prophet, but I think that we have the ability to tap into future events or things to come. We can be that. You get what I'm saying? We can proclaim that. I'm not saying you're a prophet. So don't go here and say, Andre told me I'm a prophet. No, you don't want that if you're not called to it. You know, but I firmly believe I am a youth evangelist / pastor, whatever you want. But I think I operate in the office of a prophet, you know, very heavily. And so I have to, and I just realized that at 37. I've been doing this for like 15 years. And I just realized that, but I believe everybody has the ability to tap into that, to say something to someone else that only God knows. All right. God is using everything to shape us into the image of Jesus, which is his highest passion. Did y'all catch that? God is using everything to shape us into the image of Jesus, which is his highest passion. God cares so much about all of y'all that he's willing to make replica Jesus's to walk around and proclaim his name. His highest, think about that, that God is just wanting to do that with you. And see, but we don't think about that because we're just thinking, well, God just, no, he cares. He likes every detail of your life, just like he liked every detail of his son. You know, it says, when we go through suffering, we often pray and seek God more intensely than other times. My greatest time of growth has been when I reached the end of my resources and all I have left is Jesus. And I understand that when things are coming against you, you pray a lot harder. I guarantee you, if you prayed a lot harder at the beginning and not in the middle won't be as bad as because you've already set the standard at the beginning. The middle will just carry on through. And I tell you this because we lived in a 804 square feet house. With 8 people, me and my wife and 6 kids. We got a lot of kids. Plan on having more because we're going to be fruitful and multiply. But we're planning on. No, we're not planning. But we lived in an 804 square foot house, and it got to where every day I hated going into this house. Because you couldn't keep nothing clean. These kids don't know how to clean. We can't keep nothing clean. And when we did clean, it was dirty 5 minutes later because Titus or DeAndre, our 2 and 4 year old, will mess it up, or Tanasia goes to her room and mess up her room, or make dishes, or AJ, whatever. You know, it's 804 square feet. That's almost, we was almost living in a pandemic before the pandemic happened. The only thing difference is that we only had 100 square feet per person. Now we got 6. That's for, you get what, so we was in a pandemic before it even happened. Like, I hated that house. No, let me rephrase that. I didn't hate the house. God gave us the house because the time frame that we was in, but we outgrew it. And I came to the end of my ropes, and I just start praying, God, come on. I pay my tithes. I give my offerings. What in the world are you doing? Are you not hearing me? Like, cars broke down, and I just came to my end of my rope, struggling with life. Still leading people and young people, preaching every Wednesday, you know, going to work, working court cases, dealing with my wife issues. And I don't mean her issues, but I mean, she's not here and hopefully she's not watching. And I will not say that in the 11 o'clock service because she'll be here. All right. So, and don't you tell her. You know, dealing with marital issues, let's say that, marital issues and life, and I just came to the end. God, check this out. He started doing little things that would build the hope that it's about to change. It got to where every day I went from, God, please change this situation, to God, I can't wait till you change this situation. My perspective changed because he began to do like little things, and little things that didn't even have nothing to do with what was over here. But what was over here was helping fuel what was over. You get what? Does that make sense? 804 square feet. My father-in-law passed away last summer during our vacation, on our vacation with us. It was a very hard time. My mother-in-law, we decided, hey, we're going to just move in together. It'll be good for her, and it'll be good for us because, in a way, that kind of helps provide an extra babysitter with that many kids. So we finally found a house, the house that we was looking for. It got rented out, and the next day after I looked at it, 3 months later, to the day, God says, hey, this house is over here, and I go over there, and it's the same house 3 months later. Talk to the guy, we get the house. We got 2,000 square feet. And our rent is, and I'm just sharing this, so don't think, it's just $1,300. And you say, well, you just say just $1,300. Well, we was paying $600 for 804 square feet. With my mother-in-law helping separate the bills, we pay $650. For $50 more, we got 2,000 square feet of house. We got a big backyard, we got a nice front yard, and we got a basketball court right over there. Let me tell you, you know how good God is? Because when you're doing things the right way and the godly way, God is going to make sure that you're not begging for what you need, because he is our Father, and he's willing to give it to us. That's what hope is all about. It's hoping for those things and then walking it out towards it through a godly perspective. Oh, man. Psalms 23:4, it says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and staff protects and comfort me. That means as long as God is walking, he's going to protect and he's going to teach you along the way while you're walking it out. And don't worry about falling, because sometimes you're going to stumble. But don't worry, son. Don't worry, daughter. Daddy's going to catch you. And it's going to be all right. And that's one thing we got. It says David writes that he does not fear because God is with him. He relies on God's presence, and it brings him strength and comfort. Remember that for there to be a shadow, there has to be a light. For there's to be a shadow, there has to be a light. I don't know what your valley of the shadow is, But I do know who the light is that is walking with you in the valley. Can I give you a little nugget? The mountain you stand on today will be the valley you scream from tomorrow. And your perspective should not change because you're still standing in the same spot. A lot of times we get on these mountains and we're praising God and we're like, yes, Jesus, you're doing it. Yeah, we're doing everything. I mean, we're going to fight hell with a water pistol, you know. And then tomorrow we're like, I'm so depressed. Sorry, that was loud. It scared me. I was like, Jesus? I'm just kidding. But you're like, I'm so depressed. How come one day you was screaming hallelujah and the next day you was depressed? Ain't nothing changed but the day. What changed? Your perspective. It's time that the church begin to praise him no matter what. We give him honor no matter what. Because he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's ordering our footsteps. Just know that when you go through trying times, he's not going to let you fall. Oh, this is getting good. He's not going to let you fall. He's going to strengthen you, give you some endurance. Because now you can shred away those things that are holding you back. Now everything that you was dealing with has come to the forefront. And now you can deal with it. Stop running from God when issues come up or he reveals something. He's just saying, hey, I need you to address this with me. Because you remember that song that says, his authority. He changes everything for us. Woo. It says, number two, I'm going to go through this so I can. Number two is rely on God's provision. Rely on God's provision. In Matthew 6, 24 through 31, I won't read it all, says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. Definitely teenagers. I know teenagers deal with this. Because sometimes it's like they think God is a genie. I'm going to rub you and you're going to come up and you're going to grant me my three wishes and there's life. No. This is an endurance race, sweetie. You're going to have to work your way sometimes through some things, some adversities. And it's okay because God is with you. And you can't be serving the world and God at the same time. Because it won't work. It'll drive you crazy. It is a rest. If you psychiatrists, if they want to diagnose people, say who you serve. We can tell if you want to know who you serve, the world or God. Because I've never seen somebody go crazy serving God. But I have seen them go crazy serving the world. All right. So, says, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. I can say, honestly, I worry about everyday life. I think this time, during this pandemic, I have not so much worried about the coronavirus, but I've worried about what this does to my kids, how life looks, what does this, you know, and God said, don't worry about that. I got that. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? I wish I would have known that before I started eating good. Gosh, it's hard. I ain't gonna lie. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautiful as beautiful, beautifully as they are. I this resonated with me because I struggled this morning getting dressed. Actually, it started last night. I didn't know. I was like, well, Josh wears jeans and a t-shirt and tennis shoes. And I'm like, man, maybe I should wear, you know, jeans, t-shirt, and tennis shoes. That's Josh's, you know. I'm up here. If my wife was here, she'd tell you. My daughter was in the room. How many pairs of clothes I have out? I was like, does this look good? Does this look good? Hold on, let me get, you know, because I'm worried about what I look like. And in the scriptures, he's telling us, why are you worried about that? So this morning when I got up, I said, God, dress me. And guess what he did? He dressed me. I was like, hey, I didn't realize this go together. And check this out. Look at these socks. I'm preaching today. I thought I saw a kitty cat. You know what I mean? That's Sylvester. That's my man. Like, yeah. Let me pull the other one up too because I felt it move down. But I was like, yeah, this is it. I feel like I can preach, not because of what I got on, but because I got those socks on. And those socks says preach. All right. So, but he dressed me. It was so crazy because I was like, why didn't I pick this out last night? I would have got another hour and a half, 2 hours of sleep. I ain't go to bed till about 4 o'clock. And I'm like, you know, because I'm up here worried about this. Look, this is how much worrying I was doing. I print out a copy of the copy. I got a copy of the copy. And I got it on email on my phone. And I about sent David another email just to let him know, hey, David, just in case I forget the copy of the copy and I forget my email and my email crash, I need a backup. And y'all gonna think I'm crazy, don't y'all? And I got all 4 other pages that I wrote. So I got the original and then I got the copy of the copy. And then I made sure I got up extra early. So that's why I'm just like, I'm going for it now. I'm going for it. Ain't no stopping me now. Shoot. But why worry? I've been worried this whole time. And I've had the best time up here talking to y'all. I have felt God move. God is speaking. He's even speaking. I'm like, God, how you going to do the next service? I want to give it all to him. He's like, you can give it all to him. All right. So it says in 2 Corinthians 12:7, it says, even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Paul reveals that he has suffered from a thorn in the flesh. God was so concerned about Paul not becoming proud that he allowed this to happen to him to prevent him from being conceited. Sometimes your issues is not there to say you're not. Sometimes it's there to remind you of where you came from so you don't get the big head and you don't think that you're high and you're mighty, that you remember that whoever walks through that door, they have a past and you need to accept them for who they are. And when they come through those doors, they need to know that hope is here. That when the world is going crazy, hope is here. And when you get here, we're going to teach you how to take hope back to the world because the world is in dire need of hope right now. It says, let me get to the next one. Oh, let me just share this with you. God does not punish. Oh, mercy means God does not give us punishment that we deserve, which would be hell. He made a way that we can, a way of escape. That's what he does for us. Grace means this. God gives us the gift we do not deserve. He gives us the gift that we do not deserve, which is heaven. Because sin can't enter heaven. But he created a way that we can get his son's blood and we can attain heaven. Come on now. He's made an impossible way for you to go to hell. The only way you go to hell is by pure ignorance and just straight out disobedience. You just don't believe. That's the only way. is like, I don't care what you say, Jesus is not real. It's time that we as the church begin to look at Christ completely different. That he's always with us. He's examining our lives. He is constantly detailing us. That's good. He is constantly detailing us and cleansing us and getting us right. Because when he comes back, he's looking for a spotless bride. He's looking for those that have endured. He's looking for those that have walked the walk and talked the talk. That's what Ric Flair used to say. I'm a big wrestling fan. You know, that's what he, you know, yeah, woo. Did you do that? I'm a big wrestling fan. You know, it's time that we start really bringing hope to just not us. You know, if I'm not bringing hope to my family, then my family is just as lost as I am. It ain't about you. It's about you and then the next person and then the next person and then the next person. God has people just for you to minister to love on, to bring hope to. The last one, rely on God's power. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 says this. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. What is your weakness? During this pandemic time, what have you dealt with the most? Maybe it's your son or daughter has not quite turned out like the way you wanted them to. Maybe it's a job situation has gone wrong. Or maybe you've gotten bad news of a medical diagnosis. Maybe it's like Paul with the insults and the hardship and the persecution. What is your weakness? Whatever it is, Paul says, he will boast in those things because when we are weak, the power of Christ rests on us. Let's start to examine ourselves and let's start to really boast about what we're dealing with. It's time that we go to one another and we confess what we're dealing with. And I'm not just saying go to anybody and just get any type of counsel. No, you need to know that that person is a godly person that is trying their best to give you the godly answer. And you can work through it. Because we need to build up an army, guys. You know, I'm thankful that God has sent me here. I'm honored that they've given me the opportunity to preach on a Sunday. You know, and I'm forever thankful. But one thing I'm going to start taking serious myself is that I've been lacking and been real about souls. And so that's my weakness. And we're not going to do an altar call right now because I just don't feel like it because I'm going to give you a different, I don't want to say you're going to get a different version, but just what I've been led to do. Maybe you hear voices telling you just to quit, give up, and let go. Don't stop. When you're weak, then he is strong. When you hear the enemy tells you you're not, you tell him, I am. The only way you're going to defeat the enemy, it's by the word of God. Jesus, when he was in the wilderness, when the enemy came, he said, for it is written. What was he doing? He was referring back to what the word said. Tell him who you are. I am someone. I am loved. I am. That's how you, the I am is putting it on there. Who do you say I am? I am. Remember, the greatest attack against you, the greater the Christ is in you. But you have to rely on his presence, his provision, and his power. Now, when you get home today, and I'm going to do this because I've dealt with church hurt and God has really been on me, and I'm going to write letters, and then I'm going to put them in an envelope. You're going to write down what you're struggling with or what you're suffering from on the envelope, okay? So you can get an envelope, and you're going to put whatever you're dealing with. You're going to write a letter to it, all right? We're going to address these. It says, on the outside, you're going to write, God got this, and he is transforming me. That's what you're going to write. And I'll post it if we're friends, or I'll have David and them try to get it out so you can remember. God got this, and he is transforming this. This is what you're doing. You're declaring whose battle it is, and you're saying victory over it. All right? And every time those issues come up, you look at those things and you say, God's got me. And what was the other part? And he is transforming me, which means, God, you're taking care of that while you're teaching me how to be. It is time that we address our issues. Maybe the next time we'll talk about the tent in the closet or the behind the door. You know, maybe we'll go somewhere, maybe. All right? So, with that being said, that's all I have. I'm going to pray over y'all real quick and let y'all go. Thank y'all so much. Thank you for having an open heart. I love this church. Y'all are wonderful people. Some of the best people I've met. All right, so let's just go to the Lord in prayer real quick. Dear our Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your grace, your mercy that you have given us this morning. We thank you that we have the ability to rise this morning through your love and just who you are. But Father, as the sermon has come to an end, Father, let this pierce their hearts. Let them take this home. Let them marinate. Let this be a marinating type of word that resonates with them. And they become overcomers by the words that was spoken, not because of what I said, but because of who you are. And Father, we give you all the honor and all the glory and forever. And we praise you on high. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you, Andre. Awesome job this morning. We appreciate you, buddy. We love you. We're going to go ahead and dismiss.